All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and we've been in the Beatitudes. And this is the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been working our way through this over the past several weeks, and we're going to continue today, and we're going to talk about blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Everybody say merciful. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7 this morning. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on screen. But let me read this to you. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.'" Let's read that last verse together out loud. Verse 7, ready, go. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word like you always do. Lead us to Jesus in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be keying in on verse 7, and we're going to go on to verse 8 as well. But I want to just build the foundation here just a little bit before we get started. How many of you know the Lord makes himself known through his word? If we want to know who God is, if we want to know his heart, we need to know what his word says. And every time we come to his word, when he speaks, there is an invitation that he has given us into his nature and into his character. And so when we come to his word with an open heart and by opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, because how many of you know the Lord is our teacher? He reveals himself to us, amen? And so if there is ever an issue that we have with the word, if there's ever an issue that I was to have with the scripture, how many of you know that is me saying I have an issue with the heart of God? And we need to be very careful because we can't say we love Jesus and not love his word. And because Jesus is true, when he speaks, what he says, he really means it. Because everything he says is true. Everybody say true. Say Jesus is true. And so if you follow his word in his presence, while in his presence, the destination is always his heart. I don't know about you, but I want to get after the heart of God. I want to know his heart. I want to know what he has. I want to know his ways and how that looks and what that looks like. And so scripture says that Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. That's very close. And so when Philip says, "We want to see the Father," Jesus looked at him and says, "Don't you get this? When you see me, you're seeing the Father." And so scripture teaches that Jesus has perfectly revealed to us or unveiled to us the Father. And so everything that the Lord says, it flows from him. How many of you know you can hang out with somebody and they might fool you into who they really are for a day or so? But if you open your home and they start living with you, how many of you know you're going to start seeing some of the weaknesses start to come up? Right? If they have a foul mouth, that's going to start coming up, right? You just put a little pressure on them and things start coming out, okay? Jesus perfectly reveals the Father to us. You want to know who God is? What has he said? And so we have to have this heart and this love, this desire for his word, amen? To know the heart of God, we come to the scriptures. Reinhard Bonnke, he said this, "Typically, the most childlike interpretation of a verse is God's heart. Typically, there's a disclaimer there. There is deep revelations. But typically, the most childlike interpretation, the most childlike, the most simple. How many of you know the word is bread? It's not algebra. Amen? Some of you like algebra, and some of you are like, it's algebra is easy, right? No, his word is bread. It's life. It's our food. I like bringing my Bible, and I don't know who was I was talking to some. I was talking to Amir, and I was saying, I like having the actual Bible because when I open it, it's like I'm breaking bread. His word is life to me. And so we have to have a heart and a passion and a love for his word because his word tells us what he is like. And so we should know what he says. And so we come here and we have the Beatitudes. And Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. And so we see here, there is this principle of sowing and reaping that we're not talking about money. Oftentimes we hear sowing and reaping and you think of he who sows seed, right, is wise and that it may produce much harvest and that there would be fruit and blessing and all these things. But we're not talking about money. There is still this principle of sowing and reaping. And the Bible says in Galatians 6, 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Everybody say whatever. So that can be finances. How many of you know there is no better investment than into the kingdom of God? That's where moth can't steal. Anybody ever get a paycheck and you look in, at your balance and it's like, where did it all go? This world has an ability to consume and to take everything. But there is a place that we can give to the Lord where it will never be taken from us. The same applies to mercy. How many of you know you can sow mercy and store it up? Anybody need mercy? If you don't today, there will come a day when you do. Everybody will have a day where you will need mercy, where you don't have it within yourself to see breakthrough, where you don't have it within yourself to overcome. You don't have the means. You don't have the ability. You don't have the understanding, whatever. You need something called mercy. And so we have to store it up. Whoever is merciful will obtain mercy. You guys with me? Now, mercy is not forgiveness. Sometimes we think mercy and we hear forgiveness, and though it can manifest itself as that way, it can look like forgiveness. That's one of the ways mercy comes out, but it's not the only way. The word forgiveness means to completely blot out, wipe away, and not hold accountable for wronging. In other words, when we forgive, we eliminate the ability to bring judgment or penalty. Aren't you thankful Jesus did that for us? Yeah. You refuse the right to punish someone. Okay, that's forgiveness. Now, when it comes to mercy, as you sow mercy, you obtain mercy. One of the words for mercy is womb. Interesting. That was a shock. The womb. That there is, as a mother protects the baby in her womb, so is the heart of mercy. Other words for mercy are kindness, gentleness, and love. And so when we think of the story of the blind man that came to Jesus, right? The blind man comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, have mercy on me. You guys remember that? The man was not saying, Lord, forgive me. He was crying out for mercy. Why? Because Jesus had other things to do that day. How many of you know Jesus was pretty busy? He had an assignment. There was things the Father was asking him to do. He was going from place to place, from town to town. There was a progression to his ministry here on earth as he would follow and only do what the Father said. He would only say what the Father spoke because he perfectly revealed the Father. Jesus had a lot to do, but what did this man say? Jesus, have mercy on me. What does that mean? He's saying, would you get involved in my issue even though I don't deserve it? I don't deserve your time. I don't deserve your attention, but would you just take a moment and stop for me? Aren't you thankful Jesus stopped for you? And so mercy takes place when we take ownership for things that we're not directly responsible for. Some of you got that. Want me to say it again? Mercy takes place when we take ownership for things that we're not directly responsible for. I don't need to stop and speak God's word over you. I don't have to give money to the poor. I don't have to make sure that, you know, somebody that's not had a meal for several days has a meal. I don't need to do those things. But it's mercy that stops for another. And so Jesus says, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Mercy is when you bring something that you have into someone else's situation. And you may come be here today and you may be thinking, I don't have a lot to give. How many of you know if you have Jesus, you have the most precious thing to give? There are people in your life that don't have him, that need him. The question is, will you be merciful? We good? And so Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. This means we can store it up. Somebody say, store it up. Tell the person next to you, store it up. If you ignored somebody, tell the other person, store it up. Because why? There will come a day when you will need mercy. We all need it. You'll need breakthrough. Maybe you'll need breakthrough in your marriage. Maybe you need breakthrough in your finances. Maybe you need breakthrough or healing in your mind from depression. Whatever it is, life might be stacking up against you. You need breakthrough. And if you need breakthrough, this is my word to you. This is the word of the Lord to you. If you need breakthrough, store up mercy. Store it up. Start loving people. Amen. I mentioned this already, but one of the words for mercy is the womb. Think, take a moment. If you're a husband, you probably have an inside view on this, but if your wife is pregnant, you instantly can recognize the care that a recently pregnant woman takes when they find out that they're pregnant. There is this switch that happens. Where all of a sudden you try to clean things and they're like, don't spray that, right? Is that organic, right? Do you know what's in that, right? What am I eating, okay? There's this protection, there is this care. You see, life changes when there's a baby in the womb. There's a care, there is a protection. And I actually felt like the Lord was bringing this to us today because there is a responsibility that he wants us to take for one another's destinies. That I would be as invested and care as much about your breakthrough as my own. That I would pray and contend for your marriage and your family as much as my own. What is that? That's mercy. And so Jesus is revealing the heart of the Father that there is this to be this thing in our lives called mercy. And all of this flows within the mercy life. How many of you remember the story of Cornelius the centurion, right? He's a Roman soldier, which means he was not in covenant with the Lord. And yet the Bible says that he was full of favor with God. Why? Because he gave alms to the poor. He was full of favor. Why? Because he gave alms, because he showed mercy. And so An angel comes to him. He says, go to this place. Peter is there. Peter has a vision. And he says, I can't turn this down. Clearly, there is something. I've learned a lesson. God does not turn people like this away. God doesn't turn people with a heart of mercy away. And what happened to Cornelius? Breakthrough. Not just for him, but for his whole family. The Bible says him and his whole household was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. A man who was not of Jewish descent, a man who was not in covenant with the Lord. Why? Because he had a heart of mercy. He had favor with God. Anybody want some favor with God in their life? Have mercy. And so as you show mercy, you will reap mercy. In the same way, if you judge others, you will be judged. Anybody ever have some of that coming building up in their heart sometimes? Somebody says something, somebody does something, and your heart just wants to go there. They don't know anything or anything. If they only knew. I remember there was a season where the Lord taught me this lesson. How many of you know the Lord teaches us things? And I remember there was something that someone said, and a spiritual leader said, and I did not agree in my heart, and I began to have judgment in my heart towards that person for something that they said that I didn't agree with. And I talked to my wife about it and some things, but I began to allow that judgment to go, and I remember the Holy Spirit started to convict me, saying, do you really think you know everything? There are things that you believe that nobody else in the body of Christ believes. Nobody's theology is perfect other than Jesus. And I remember for a season, there was a time where because there was judgment in my heart, I began to receive judgment. People started to question my leadership. People started to question my motives. Even with a pure and sincere heart where I'm just trying to help people, people would be like, what do you want? What are you after? Whatever a man sows, he will reap. You sow judgment, you reap judgment. But you sow mercy, you reap mercy. And so if you ever feel like you're moving into judgment, I'll give you the cheat sheet. If you ever feel like you're moving in judgment, what do? You confess it to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry that is even there. You repent. Lord, I turn from that. And I give that hurt, I give that offense, I give that all to you. And then you do this. You start praying for that person God's best. What happens when you pray for your enemy? When you pray for someone that's wrongfully, that has done you wrong, that has offended you, that has actually hurt you, what is that when you start to pray God's best over them? That's mercy. Are you guys with me? When you start to pray for them like you pray for your own family, you pray God's best for them. So how do you keep your heart pure? You begin to sow mercy. Father, bless them. Father, touch them. Lord, move on their heart. Lord, bless them. Bless their family. And you will notice that your heart takes a 180. That person that I was in judgment towards ended up being one of the best people that I know, and it wasn't them that changed, it was me. My heart shifted. And what once was an enemy that I viewed, that I brought in my heart because of judgment, and I marked as an enemy, was now a friend, an ally, someone who prays for me. Are you guys with me? The merciful obtain mercy. If you are here today and if you are in love with Jesus, you are not here randomly. You did not just stumble upon the truth. If you are here and you're in love with Jesus, it's not because you just figured it out. Someone before us or connected to us likely sowed mercy. There's a story of a famous missionary. And his great-grandfather had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in one of Amy Semple McPherson's meetings. And when he fell under the power of God, he had a vision from the Lord of millions of people in Africa begging for bread. He had this vision and he had in his heart, I have to go to Africa. I must reach the people of Africa. They need the word. They need this. There was the heart there, but he never saw it come to pass in his life. And at the end of his life, there was this famous missionary who was serving the people in Africa. And he told his grandson, he told this missionary, he said, I never got to see that day with my own eyes, but I'm seeing it through you. How many of you know in God's economy, other people's breakthrough is your breakthrough? We don't think like that, especially in our culture. We think, I've got to be the one doing it. I've got to be the one who gets the glory. I've got to be the one that actually gets things done. But how many of you know when we sow mercy, it may be your children. Those generational things that have been passed on from grandfather to father, from father to son, those things can be broken because we sow mercy. Are you guys with me? You may be praying for salvation for some people. There may be times where you've gone and you've preached the gospel to others, and because you've done that, your great-great-great-great-grandkid received Jesus because you showed mercy to that person. Do you see how God works? And so I'm here today because I believe I'm reaping mercy that someone else has sown. It's not because I'm good. It's not because I'm talented. It's none of those things. None of those things mean anything without his anointing. I'm here because people sowed mercy. And so this is the challenge to us from the Holy Spirit. I believe this is what he's asking of us. Begin to show mercy. Begin to love people. Because mercy requires that you go out of your way. Excuse me. Mercy requires that you go out of your way. Mercy will inconvenience you. Right? You're extending mercy. How many of you know when you lay hands on the sick, that's extending mercy? You don't have to pray for them. You should, but you don't have to. It's mercy. When you preach the gospel and you talk to people about Jesus and what the Lord's done in your life, when you talk to your friends, when you share what the Lord is teaching you, when you simply say things like, this is what God spoke to me through my devotion time today. You're bringing the word. How many of you know, what is that? That's mercy. Mercy is not just driving by people that are asking for money and assuming, well, they just want to take advantage of me. Even if they were trying to take advantage of you, when you do it with a pure and sincere heart, how many of you know that the Lord blesses that? You cannot be taken advantage of in this world if all you have is given to him. And so one day, you will eventually reap mercy. One day, someone who has breakthrough that you need will come your way. One day, someone who has revelation of the scriptures that you need will come your way. But we have to be sowing mercy because the one that sows mercy will obtain mercy. And so mercy stops for the one. Mercy looks for the one. I heard a pastor, and I aspire to be this because I don't even know if I have this much foresight, but he said, when I get up in the morning, I put a few extra dollars in my pocket for those that need it. Number one, that takes planning because I have to go get cash. I don't even touch cash ever. Okay. But do you see the heart? I don't leave and I say, Lord, lead me to someone that needs this. That's a merciful heart. He wasn't gloating about it. He was trying to reveal the heart of the Father. When you sow mercy, you reap mercy. It's time to store up mercy. If you give it, you gain it. That's the kingdom. If you lose yourself, you find yourself. If you die to yourself, you come alive. What other kingdom is like this? What other kingdom is like, you know what, you're so humble and so kind and so gentle. What other business would say, I'm going to give you the whole business? Because isn't that what the meek will inherit the earth? You're so kind, you're so gentle and so humble, I'm going to give you Canada. There is no other kingdom like this. Listen to verse 8. Are we good? Listen to this. Blessed are the pure in heart. Everybody say pure in heart. For they will see God. The pure in heart will see God. Does anybody want to see the Lord? The pure in heart are the ones who see. Everybody say pure. The Greek word for pure is to clean, to scrub, and to remove filth. And the pure in heart have a promise. They will see the Lord. We're all going to come face to face with the Lord, right? On that day. We're all going to come face to face with Jesus. And for some, that's going to be a good thing. For some, that's not going to be a good thing. And that depends on the level that we've yielded ourselves to his lordship. We're all going to see him then, but how many of you know the pure in heart see him right now? The pure in heart see the Lord day to day. The pure in heart see the Lord around every corner, through every conversation, through every person. A pure heart beholds the Lord at all time. Everybody say, behold. Let me say it this way. The more pure the heart, the more the person longs to behold the Lord. When you are pure in heart, you want nothing more than to be with him. You want nothing more than to see him, to be in his presence, to be in his word. Why? Because your heart has been purified. You're not carrying around the callousness, the hardness, the cataracts of this world. You've been purified. You've been sanctified. We pick up things in this world, don't we? It is so easy to go through your week and listen to the wrong things, to see the wrong things, to have people around you doing the wrong things. And if we're not careful and we don't protect our heart, we fall into it and we lose our affection for him. And so if you are here today and you're saying, I'm going to church because I'm supposed to, or I get in the word because I'm supposed to, I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're in the word, but there's so much more than that. I want to encourage you, ask the Lord to wash you, to cleanse your heart. Because you've seen things that you shouldn't have seen, you've said things that you shouldn't have said. The more pure the heart, the more the person longs to behold the Lord. How many of you remember when John the Baptist saw the Lord? He didn't say, hey, everybody, take a quick peek. There's the Lamb of God. What did he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold him. That's more than a glance. That is a fix your eyes on this. You see, when you start to behold him in that way, you become addicted to him. And you might be here and you're like, I don't want to become too religious. We're not talking about religion. We're not here for religion. We're here for him. We're here with Creator God, who has a heart and a desire for us to be with him. And so you can only have as much of him as you can see. There's a lot to that. I'll say it again. You can only have as much of him as you can see. Some of you have seen a little. Some of you have seen more. None of us have seen all of them. The pure in heart will see him. You want to see more of him? Protect your heart and allow him to cleanse it. Allow him to purify it. And so if your heart is blinded to Jesus, how can it be purified? We've talked about this before, but I'm just going to do a quick recap. If your heart is blinded to Jesus, how can you purify it? Number one, by the washing of his word. When you get into his word, your heart gets washed and it gets purified. His words prune us. They clean us. It cuts off all the things. It burns away the chaff. Okay? You want a pure heart? Start getting in his word. Come on Sunday, hear his word. You guys here? You guys with me? His word will cleanse you. You'll come into a place like this, you'll hear things, and it's not me speaking to you, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And when you hear it and you receive it, it cleans you. You leave differently. We good? Number one, by the washing of his word. Number two, prayer injects fuel into your life that will increase the fire of your heart. You want to be more, have more fire? You want to be more passionate? Prayer is the oil that can be stored up to fuel the flame of your heart. Good? Number three, we fan the flame with our worship and adoration. You've stored up oil, you're praying, come to the feet of Jesus and worship him and watch it grow. You'll fall more in love with him. You'll be more consumed by him in a good way. This is a good thing. And so let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you this is what we talk about in Kids Church. By the way, if you have kids, my favorite Sundays are when I'm in there with the kids. I'm just going to say, I love you guys, but those kids are amazing, okay? Because they just soak him up. And it's so simple. Literally, you're just coloring a picture about what Jesus was doing, and you just tell them, this is what Jesus does. And they just look at you and they're like, Jesus feeds me? Yep. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's anyways, all right. So let me ask you the question, simple question. If I was to ask a child, where does the Lord live? In my heart. Everybody say in my heart. Where does the Lord live? In my heart. What do kids say? I ask the Lord to be in my heart. Where's Jesus' home? He's in my heart. Where does he live? He's in my heart. Everybody say my heart. How do you behold the Lord? With my heart. So when I say, or the worship leader says, Micah says, aren't you thankful for our anointed worship leaders? Not me, her. All right. When we say, look to the Lord, how do we do that? With our heart. He lives in our heart, and we behold him with our heart. If I have no desire to behold the Lamb, then something is probably wrong in my heart. If I don't want more of him, if I don't want to be with him, if I don't want to spend time in his presence, there's probably something off in my heart. My heart needs attention. If you want to give yourself, as a believer, if you want to give yourself a heart check, do you want to spend time with him or not? Are you in love with him or not? Because you may have said a prayer. You may have accepted him into your heart. But he wants to hold it. So do you want to spend time with him or not? Because if you don't, there's probably something off. There's probably some filth. There's probably some things that have attached itself to your heart that has stolen your affection for him. So what do? We come to his word. We give it back to him. We begin to pray and we store up that oil and we begin to worship and we fan the flame. And what happens? All those things that mean nothing, all the extra garbage begins to be consumed by the power of his spirit. He is a consuming fire. You get near him, he'll consume the parts that are not of him. So a wounded heart, everybody say a wounded heart. Isn't hurt real? Offense is real. Betrayal is real. A wounded heart can lose its purity. How many of you have ever seen scar tissue, right? And the hardness of that flesh and the scar. The stiffness. If you have scar tissue in your heart, how many of you know it causes clogs? Things don't flow properly. It's the same with the heart. If there are scars in the heart and I don't give it to the Lord, it actually affects my desire to behold him. If we allow the wounds to not be surrendered to him, those wounds can very much keep us from our desire and affection towards him. Some people will say believers don't need to do heart work, but I disagree. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So we need to protect our heart. Everybody say, protect your heart. Say, I need to protect my heart. This is so key. So many believers will just say, well, I'm in grace. I can just do anything and then ask for forgiveness. No. You need to protect your heart. Because a heart that isn't pure doesn't see him. And because you won't see him, you won't desire him. And because you don't desire him, you move away from him. And when you move away from him, you leave him. Want to know why believers, people who have genuinely encountered the Lord, you know why they leave the church? Because there's so much compromise in their life. How many of you know there is a blessing when we live holy to the Lord, when we do what he says? When we compromise, what are we affecting? It's not hurting other people necessarily, hopefully. It can. It will ultimately. It's hurting your heart. It hurts our affection towards him. And so we need to protect our heart to keep the impurities away. So the way to your heart, the avenues to your heart, if you picture your heart as a home and all the roads that come into it, the ways to your heart are your eyes, the things you see, the things that you watch, your ears, the things that you listen to, the things that you hear. Is it perversion? Is it filth? And it comes down in through your soul and penetrates the heart. And so I'm telling you, compromise should not be a part of your life. It is a strategy of the enemy. It is a strategy of Satan himself. It is demonic. Compromise is demonic. It is of the devil, and it is a strategy to cool your affection towards the Lord. It's subtle, it's slow, but if we aren't paying attention, oh, maybe we protect our heart and give it to him. Can we do that right now? Just say, Lord, I give you my heart. Wash me by your word. Cleanse every part that's not from you. And let me burn for you. We cannot afford to have impurities in the heart, amen? Personally, I need to forgive people quickly. Let me put it this way, and this is kind of what I was referring to earlier, and this is a key. If we can get this, we're going to wrap it up in just a moment. I need people to speak evil of me. If you want to know Jesus more, you want more of God in your life, you need people to speak evil of you. You need to, let me put it this way, I cannot say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, if someone actually hasn't hurt me or wrongfully accused me. If I want to know him, not just in the joy, but in the suffering, I must suffer. So for me to become more like him, people must speak evil of me. So why are we always surprised when people do it? How could that person? It's those that are closest, right? Usually. How could they say that? And what happens is, and this is what compassion is. Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they do. If someone actually speaks evil of you, if someone actually was to hurt you and it got into your heart, and you can come to the place where you say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of you know you have seen a part of Jesus that not every believer has? We want to see more of him. That means that we rejoice when in the rejoicing, we mourn with those who mourn. We find him in every place of our life. Didn't Jesus say, people will accuse you, they'll falsely accuse you, they'll speak evil of you? This is what a yielded life to the Lord looks like. A yielded life to the Lord looks like, Lord, whatever you want to work in me, but then don't be shocked when you go through the things that the Lord went through. What is that? That is him working something in you so that you can become more like him. What is the Holy Spirit's number one goal for your life? To become more like Jesus. I want to know him, Paul said, even to the point of death. Imagine a heart like that. Would you say that you want to die for Jesus? I mean, really? That's a tough question, right? So, but we hear that and we're like, well, that's not my calling. I'm not called to die for him. No, but it is that level of surrender, right? I don't know, man. Like, if we really are saying, I want to see him more, will you stop for others that need it? Will you pray for people that need breakthrough? Will you give and meet someone's need? Will you forgive those who have actually wronged you and not hold it against them? Will you actually keep your heart pure and protect it and not maybe watch the things and allow the compromise that you've allowed for so long? Will you actually invite the Lord to bring a healing to that, to wash you, to cleanse you? Because the pure in heart are the ones that will see the Lord. And they see him everywhere they go. I see people, believers, make fun of other believers because of how much they love the Lord. And they're like, that person's crazy. I'm like, that person is connected. I hope I love the Lord as much as they do someday. They're just a bunch, they're weirdos. Maybe a little, but they're just crazy in love. So I cannot afford to let someone else's sin toward me to become sin in me. And when we don't forgive others, I'm just going to go back to this real quick. You become all consumed over what they said about you. You forget what God has said about you. I heard a pastor say, if you want to slay dragons, don't waste time swatting at flies. The scripture says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Why is it so important to see him this way? Listen to 2 Corinthians verse chapter 3 and 18. It says, but we all with unveiled face, meaning we're seeing him, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, the image of who? The image of Jesus. Being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, as the heart positions itself to behold Jesus, I become more like Jesus. If I allow my heart to say, yes, I want more of him, guess what? You will see more of him. If you want the same results, do the same thing. If you want to continue to fall away, continue to allow compromise. But I'm telling you, it is unnecessary because the Lord has paid the price to cleanse our hearts, to wash us of all impurity so that we could see him clearly. Somebody say amen. So let's stand. I'm going to pray over you. Are we thankful for the God's word? The word of the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord this morning and just surrender to him. Just a posture of surrender. It's amazing what happens in our heart when we allow our physical posture to be surrendered. So, Lord, we surrender to you. And Lord, I ask, just right now, in just between you and the Lord, begin to ask the Holy Spirit who you can extend mercy to. Who needs mercy in your life? Who needs Jesus? in your life? Who needs someone to contend with them in prayer? Freely you have received, freely give. Holy Spirit, begin to speak to us. We want to be blessed, and you said, blessed are the merciful, for they obtain mercy. Father, we thank you for your voice. We thank you for your word, and we receive what you are saying. Lord, let your fire burn in our hearts to behold you, to behold the Lamb of God, Jesus. Do a work of healing in our hearts. Have mercy and remove the impurities. Cleanse us. Say, Lord, cleanse me. Wash me. And give me eyes for you. And let that fire burn deep. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for the word? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, it is good to worship the Lord together. It's good to receive the word of the Lord together. Let's do this. Love some people around you. We're going to be here next Sunday, 10 o'clock. We hope to see you guys there. God bless. And if you need prayer, we have people up here available to pray for you.